to us as we're transitioning. And so this morning, you could turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we'll be in verses 11 through 16. And the title of today's sermon is Press On. So just a little bit of an introduction to what's happening in 1 Timothy. So there's a young pastor named Timothy, and he's leading the church in Ephesus. And I would say that the church in Ephesus has a lot of similarities to our church. One thing is the church in Ephesus was a church that had a high calling. And I would say that our church, VOH, also has a high calling. And so Paul was writing this to Timothy, to the Ephesian church, to encourage them in their high calling to press on. And as God includes this into Scripture for us, in the high calling of our church or the high calling of our lives, what's God's encouragement to us to press on in what he has called us to? So the question we're answering this morning is, what's God's encouragement for us to press on, collectively as a church, but also individually in what God has for each one of us? And so, you know, each church has a different calling, obviously. So there were some specifics for the Ephesian church that they were called to. We have our specifics that we are called to. And just to put this into context, I wanted to show you about a six-minute video that kind of updates about our transition and what's happening, a lot of stuff behind the scenes and stuff. Just to put into context, what is God calling us to? What is God encouraging us to press on in? So let's put it into context. Take a look at this video that updates about our church transition.
September 15th is VOH's 28th anniversary. We will celebrate with a combined service with the English and Chinese congregations at 10:30 a.m. in a Harvest Building sanctuary. The following Sunday, on September 22nd, we will take our first steps toward unifying our two congregations, leading into becoming a multi-ethnic church. We believe that a multi-ethnic church is a church with a heart to reach the world and what God has called us to. So on September 22nd, we will begin our Chinese service at 9:45 a.m. and our English service at 11:15 a.m., both in a Harvest sanctuary. As we transition our church, it is our goal to strengthen our biblical foundations. While the Chinese service is going on, there will be a systematic Bible training class available in English. During the English service, we will offer six Sunday school classes in Chinese. As we have been communicating along the way, this transition towards a multi-ethnic church highly prioritizes ministering well to our next generation. Because of this priority, our team has been hard at work preparing quality Sunday programs for all our next generation ministries. Every Sunday, during the first service, starting at 9:45 a.m., we will be running the Awana program for kids 3.5 years old through sixth grade. Awana is an internationally renowned discipleship program that we are very excited to implement for our VOH kids. We will also be offering a program for kids 0 through 3.5 years old. During the second service, starting at 11:15 a.m., we will be running the Disciple Land program for kids 18 months through sixth grade. Disciple Land is a fun, engaging program designed to systematically teach the Bible to children. We will also offer a program for kids 0 through 18 months.
This is about halfway through, so, but it was actually lagging a bit anyway, so. Anyway, we'll show it to you when we kind of get it all up. And the sermon's going to be great, guys, today. All right. Let me say a prayer for us. And let's just, Father, we just thank you for gathering us together. And your Holy Spirit's here. And we're going to open up your word. And you're going to speak to us. And so we just thank you for this opportunity. And we pray away the enemy, and just as I just shared about last week, there's times the enemy wants to distract us or discourage us, but we're thankful, Lord, that you are in control. And so we just receive what you want to do this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys, just let me know when it is, and we'll show the rest of it when we're ready. But let's just jump into God's word, okay? 1 Timothy 4, verses 11 through 16. So I wanted to show us that video to kind of give us context. What's God calling us to press on in? Right, and so there's specific things for the Ephesian church. There's specific things for our church, which is a lot to do with our transition and this next season that we're in. And so God wants to share with us an encouragement to press on. 1 Timothy 4:11-16. This was God's encouragement to the Ephesian church, God's encouragement to us as a collective church, but also just individually in whatever he has called us to. So let's read it together. You might have to help me to, okay, here we go. 1 Timothy 4:11-16. Let's read it out loud together. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set in an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. So probably the most famous portion of this passage is in verse 12. And here's the first portion of verse 12. Let's just read this again together. It says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. All right, Timothy was the pastor of the Ephesian church. And he was a young pastor. And so there were some people who thought that he may not be capable of leading the church in Ephesus. The church in Ephesus was a growing, leading church in the known world. And there's some people that were onlooking, obviously, and were thinking, is Timothy really capable of doing this, of what he is called to? And I would say that clearly Timothy was the underdog. And I would also say that as we transition over and into the Harvest Building, but into the new season that God has for us as a church, we are also the underdog. Through the years, after doing what I do for so many years, I've been connected with lots of Chinese immigrant churches. Know many of them, even many more. And so I get to talk to them about, what's happening in our church. And I tell them about, this transition and, moving towards a multi-ethnic church, English congregation, taking more of the lead and next generation, et cetera. And everyone would say the same thing. They'd say, this has never been done before. Never have we seen a transition like this of a Chinese immigrant church in this progression of what you guys feel called to. I think everyone hopes the best for us, but I think it is accurate to say that we are the underdogs in this. And in whatever God has called you to, there's certain things, maybe even this morning, that you have been called to, that there are certain assignments that you might have in your life, in your family, in your work, in your ministry, etc., that you also might feel like the underdog. So Paul gives this encouragement to the church of Ephesus as they are the underdogs. What's God's encouragement to them? Let's read verse 14. Here's God's encouragement to them, God's encouragement to us. Let's read it together. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. So Paul was reminding Timothy about his ordination. When the elders gathered around him and prayed for him, for his calling in his life, began to give him some encouraging words. Paul was reminding Timothy of this ordination. When I was meditating on this passage, I kept thinking about Sam Kim's ordination. If the video had worked, you would have heard that there's a guy named Sam Kim who we're going to be hiring on in this upcoming season to become the college and young adults pastor. And I'm getting the signal from the sound team that this video is ready to go. So let's just watch this video because it'll put everything that I'm talking about into context. So, Father, let this video work in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's VOH's 28th anniversary. We will celebrate with a combined service with the English and Chinese congregations at 10:30 a.m. in the Harvest Building Sanctuary. The following Sunday, on September 22nd, we will take our first steps toward unifying our two congregations, leading into becoming a multi-ethnic church. We believe that a multi-ethnic church is a church with a heart to reach the world and what God has called us to. So on September 22nd, we will begin our Chinese service at 9:45 a.m. and our English service at 11:15 a.m. both in a Harvest Sanctuary. As we transition our church, it is our goal to strengthen our biblical foundations. While the Chinese service is going on, there will be a systematic Bible training class available in English. During the English service, we will offer 6 Sunday school classes in Chinese. As we have been communicating along the way, this transition towards a multi-ethnic church highly prioritizes ministering well to our next generation. Because of this priority, our team has been hard at work preparing quality Sunday programs for all our next generation ministries. Every Sunday during the first service, starting at 9:45 a.m., we will be running the Awana program for kids 3.5 years old through 6th grade. Awana is an internationally renowned discipleship program that we are very excited to implement for our VOH kids. We will also be offering a program for kids 0 through 3.5 years old. During the second service, starting at 11:15 a.m., we will be running the Disciple Land program for kids 18 months through 6th grade. Disciple Land is a fun, engaging program designed to systematically teach the Bible to children. We will also offer a program for kids 0 through 18 months. As for our English-speaking youth, we have also been working hard to prepare our 7th through 10th grade ministries for this transition. As you might be aware, our youth Sunday service has been growing, and we are excited that the youth service will be able to start using the Hope Sanctuary for further growth. Starting September 22nd, the youth service will be meeting at 9:45 a.m. in the Hope Sanctuary. During the 11:15 a.m. time slot, Pastor Baldwin will lead a youth program for all 7th through 10th graders. Some of our youth will also volunteer during the second service time slot to help with Vineyard Kids. As for our Chinese-speaking youth, we continue to reach out to this group too. We will continue to minister to Chinese-speaking high schoolers and college students and continue our English Club outreach program. Our English small group system will be completely revamped as we enter this transition. We will be implementing a semester-based small group system that has recently become widely used in a lot of churches. This new system will help involve greater amounts of people in small groups, raise up new leaders, and most importantly, foster greater spiritual growth in and through our church. You will be hearing more details about this new system in the upcoming weeks, and the new small groups will launch the first week of October. Part of our preparation for this transition has involved hiring some new staff to bolster our next generation ministries. We welcome Tammy Chen onto our staff as a new Vineyard Kids director. Tammy comes with an extensive background in children's ministry, and she has been volunteering with us throughout this whole process of preparation for this transition. We also welcome Sam Kim onto our pastoral team to especially work with our English-speaking college and young adult ministries. Pastor Sam is an ordained Air Force chaplain and joins us with a rich heritage in the Vineyard movement. He has been connecting with us relationally for the last few years, and we are honored to have him now serve on our pastoral team. It's also our heart for this transition to increase the fellowship and collaboration between the English and Chinese congregations. The room adjacent to the Harvest Sanctuary, commonly called the chapel, will become a space before and after services where people can gather and connect. Our Hope House will move into that space to serve coffee and drinks, and we will also be serving light breakfast items and lunch there as well. EOH family, how can you help during this transition? Please pray for our church as we engage one of the biggest transitions in our history. On a practical level, there are many areas where we can use more volunteers. We have 18 teams that will serve each Sunday. We are especially excited that Chinese-speaking members and English-speaking members will be serving side by side on these teams. If you would like to volunteer to serve on one of these teams, simply sign up at our welcome table or go to our website at www.vineyardofharvest.org/transition. Please also prayerfully consider giving a financial gift to help us in this process. Your gifts will specifically go towards running our new children's program and also new staffing. Our goal is to fundraise $30,000 for these needs. Checks can be made out to VOH with transition in the memo. As we move towards this transition into a multi-ethnic church, we want to emphasize that we intend this transition to be a unified vision to reach out to English-speaking and Chinese-speaking. Our vision is that ministry to both groups will flourish and continue to grow as we move into the future. God has a great destiny for our church, and as we enter a season of greater unity, we believe we will reap a great harvest as the Holy Spirit empowers us. To recap, Chinese-speaking service will be at 9:45 a.m. English-speaking service will be at 11:15 a.m. We will have children's and youth programs for both services. Pray, give, and volunteer to help with this transition. See you all on September 15th.
All right, so just wanted to put a little bit into context, you know, what God has called us to, press on in and encourage us in. And so Paul's talking to Timothy, and he's giving him these words, trying to encourage him to remember his ordination. And so when I'm meditating on this passage, and I was reminded about Sam Kim's ordination about 1 year ago right here in this room on this platform. And here's a picture from that day. It's the same picture that was in the video that we just watched. And I remember when we were up here, I felt prompted by the Lord to share with him something. And it was the same thing that was spoken to me at my ordination about 10 years earlier by Pastor Bob Fulton. And so I felt like I just needed to pass this on to Sam. And I said to Sam, you know, we're just men up here. Who are we to ordain anyone? But what we're doing simply is we're recognizing what God's called you to, that God's called you to the ministry, and we're just blessing what the Father's doing. What I was trying to communicate was that what God had called Sam to in the full-time ministry and at this ordination is that there's no man who would be able to help him fulfill whatever he was going to do, even himself. But it was God who had called him, and God who was the one that was going to make him able. And so I share this as point number one of what's God's encouragement for us to press on. Even when we feel like underdogs, God considers us able to fulfill whatever assignment he gives us. For the Ephesian church, what it was for them, called them to be a growing, leading church in the known world at the time. For us, maybe a lot of this new season of transitioning to the other building towards a multi-ethnic church. For Timothy, just leading this church and God's encouragement to him amongst people that were saying that he wasn't even able, that he was too young for this. God was the one that was saying that he was going to make him able. And so as God has called him able, also God was going to make him able. And so let's look at verse 11. How is God going to make Timothy able? How is God going to make us able to fulfill what he has called us to? Verse 11. Let's read this out loud. Command and teach these things. If you look down in your Bibles above verse 11, Paul is telling Timothy to combat the false teachers. So he's giving him some instructions on combating the false teachers and then telling Timothy to tell the Ephesian church also to fight against the false teaching and the false teachers that were infiltrating the church. And Paul's word to Timothy was just short and simple. He said, command and teach these things. He was telling Timothy, hey, go forward in your calling with authority. And he was telling Timothy to go and tell the rest of the Ephesian church, go, whatever God's called you to do it with authority. And so he elaborates this about, you know, commanding and teaching God's word against these false teachers. He elaborates it in verse 13. Let's read this out loud together again. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching, and to teaching. So here's this young pastor, Timothy. There's people that are looking down on him. He was the underdog. God's trying to encourage him. God's telling him, listen, you're able. And God said, go and command and teach these things to the people, against the false teachers and to the rest of the Ephesian church. And so Paul was saying to Timothy, listen, it's not going to be on your authority. It's going to be on the authority of the Word of God. And it's going to be on God's authority that's going to go with you to fight for you, to make you able to do the things that you are called to. That's God's encouragement to us. God's saying to us, whatever it is that we are called to, whatever assignment it is, what situation we find ourselves in, God says, you are able. And then God says, it's not just that I call you able, but he's telling Timothy, go with the authority, command and teach these things. Go with God's authority. Go with the authority of God's word. Let me put it like this for point number two. What's God's encouragement for us to press on? Point number two, we fight our battles with God's authority, not our own. What is it that God's called you to? What is it that God's called our church to? We are the underdogs. I go and I talk to so many other people and tell them about this very daunting vision. Everyone admires it. But at the same time, it's never been done before. You know, the Chinese church in America is 100 years old. It's never been done before. But God says, what I've called you to, you are able, and I will make you able. And go and command these things, not on your own authority, but do it in God's authority and the authority of God's word. So you might say, you know, okay, I want to go in God's authority. I need to fight some battles in my life. How do I go forth with God's authority? What does it look like for me to go forward with God's authority? What, does Paul have something practical about how we would move forward and fight these battles with God's authority? Let's read verses 15 to 16 to see what this practically looks like. Let's read this out loud together. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Let's break this down a little bit. Verse 16 says, watch your life and doctrine closely. Doctrine is our beliefs, our Christian beliefs, our Christian values. And Paul is telling Timothy, in the midst of being the underdog, trying to encourage him, he said, make sure your life matches up with your Christian beliefs. Make sure that your life is aligning with what you believe in. And he says, he elaborates it a little bit more in verse 15. He says, so that everyone may see your progress. He said, make sure your life is reflecting your Christian beliefs, and do it in front of people so they'll see the change in you, so they'll see that Jesus is working in you, and they'll recognize that Jesus is true and Jesus is real. And he tells them, Paul is telling Timothy and the Ephesian church, he's telling them, this is the result. This is what's going to happen when you just begin to live out your Christian life in front of people. He says, if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. He was telling them, just by living out your Christian life and wherever you go to, at work, amongst your neighbors, in front of your family, etc., what's going to happen is that's going to bring kingdom impact. That's going to even save people. That's going to bring people towards Jesus. Paul was saying, something supernatural happens when we live out our Christian lives. Because we know it's not going to be of ourselves that we'd be able to live out our Christian lives and people would, you know, that on our own ability that we'd be able to make it happen. But God is going to do it supernaturally as we live out our Christian lives. Let me put it like this for point number three. What's God's encouragement to Paul or to Timothy? What's God's encouragement to us? Point number three, God's presence comes to minister as we just live out our Christian lives. Let me add a sentence to this. It's just about us living out our Christian lives and God's presence and power coming through that. But let me add one sentence to point number three. Our part is just to show up. Now, I have to give credit where credit is due on this little phrase about show up. Many of you guys know Lance Pitluck, Lance and Cheryl, and they're on vacation, so they're not here today. But Lance is a national leader in the Vineyard Movement, really helped start the Vineyard Movement in the early days. And so I've been to many conferences, listened to him preach many, many times. And this is kind of a little phrase that he always says. You know, what is it God called us to, or what assignment do we have? What can we possibly do to fulfill those callings? All we can do is just show up. And that little phrase has just become sort of a mantra for me, and I say it to Evangeline all the time at home, that we just our part, and whatever God calls us to do, all we can do at times is just show up. Just live out our Christian lives as best that we can, but believe that God's presence and his power comes through as we do that. And so I mentioned last week in the process of this transition that I've been in many, many conversations, many, many meetings, some of them really hard, you know, change is hard, right? And so it's just you know, people have different perspectives, opinions, thoughts, it's emotional, et cetera, et cetera. And so been in some hard meetings, and I'll be at home sometimes with Evangeline, and we're just kind of debriefing the next meeting, you know, and she'll ask me, you know, what do you plan to do? What do you plan to say? And I'll literally just say to her, you know, I'm just going to show up. You know, and those of you who know me know that I'm a preparer. I like to be prepared, right? So it's not that I did my homework in preparation for the meetings, but honestly, like, I'm not clever enough, smart enough, wise enough, et cetera, to, like, for some of these meetings and whatever it is that, you know, that we're called to, and a lot of the, you know, honestly, tension in these meetings, you know, what could I possibly do? And so I wasn't saying it sarcastically or cynically. I was just saying, all I can do is show up and trust that God and his presence and his power and his anointing would flow out as I just do my best to live out my Christian life. And I wanted to share with you, you know, a lot of these meetings, I would walk away from these meetings and I would know that something great happened, something kingdom happened. And I would know that I could not take any credit for it because I knew going into the meeting, all that I could do was just show up to this meeting. And the truth is, point number three really sums up my ministry of 19 years of ministry. You know, after all these years, people come up to me, you know, at different gatherings, and they, you know, even after a Sunday service or something, or just in casual conversation, they'll ask me, hey, do you still get nervous, you know, when you're speaking? Because, you know, you've done this for so long, and this is my answer every single time. I get nervous every single time, and I tell them, it doesn't matter if I'm speaking in front of 500 people or 5 people. I'm nervous every single time. And I tell people, you know, you will not meet a more shy, introverted person than me. And my favorite spot is just in the corner of the room, the back of the room, so I can leave right afterwards. But in this season, for whatever reason, God chose to have me here. And I'm very aware every single time that all I can do is just show up. And it's got to be God's presence. But I'll tell you this. And I say it with humility because I'm just giving you all the context. Every single time when I show up, God ministers to people. Because as I just stay obedient to whatever it is that God calls me to be, and a lot, you know, and for me, this assignment is tough for me to be in front of people, to be doing public speaking. And maybe in some season of my life when I retire or something, you know, God will have something different for me. And I'll be happy with that. But in this season, this is what God has for me. And all I can do is just show up. And I think about our church transition. I think of after 100 years of Chinese immigrant church that no one has done this. But God's called us to it. All we can do is just show up. What's God called you to? What assignment does he have in your life that he has set in front of you, in your family, in your ministry, in your job situation, et cetera, in your neighborhood? Do you feel like the underdog? Well, God says, you know, it doesn't matter what other people say. And God says, it doesn't even matter what we say or how we feel. God said, I have called you able. And then God said, if you are the underdog, he said, it's not just that I call you able, but I'm going to make you able. And he says, go forth. That's he was saying to Timothy, go forth in the authority of God's word and the authority of God to go fight the battles. Listen, it was hard if you read the rest of chapter 11. The false teaching was going rampant, crazy, and out of control in the church of Ephesus and in Ephesus. And so for Paul to tell Timothy, listen, just go in there and command and teach. Man, in some ways, it was really scary for Timothy to engage that. And for Paul to just say, just devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Paul, Timothy, just get up there and start preaching with authority. It had to be God. It had to be God to fight battles for them. And God says for us, sometimes the best place to be, by the way, another one of my life verses is 1 Corinthians 1:27. God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. That I come up here every single Sunday, recognize that it is my weakness. I would rather be in the back and in the corner, but God brings me up here because that it would be the weak to shame the strong. That we know that it's God. If he speaks and if his presence comes, that it's not because of my ability or any of our ability, but it's got to be God. It's got to be his power. It's got to be him fighting our battles for us. And that all we can do is just show up. It's just live out our lives as best we can for God and for the glory of Jesus and let him come surround us and fight our battles. And there's a song that goes like that, right? And we happen to be singing it this morning in response. that in the midst of us, sometimes we feel like we are surrounded by the enemy. We are surrounded by the doubters and the haters. We're surrounded by the people that are calling us underdogs. But God said, let it be that it's my presence that surrounds you. Let it be that it is me, my presence, God says, that begins to fight for you in the things that you got, I have called you to. And that's where the victory begins to come. And that's where Jesus gets all the glory, by the way. It's when we know it's him that's fighting the battles for us. And I want to pray for you this morning, because I know that there's some of us here that we got some stuff in our lives that's tough. There's some assignments in our lives that's emotionally challenging, physically challenging, spiritually challenging, that we feel like we lack resources or that we have no resources. We feel like we're the underdogs, and we feel like that we are our backs up are against the wall. Listen, it's tough. I don't want to make light of it and be insensitive, but in some ways, that's the best place to be and the best position to be in, that we would say it is not because I'm able, but God, it's because you called me able. God, it's because you are going to make me able, and it's because of your presence it's going and your power is going to come through me as I just show up and do my best to answer your call. I want to pray for you. Let's all stand together in response, and worship team, you can come up. Prayer team, if you can come up. Can we just close our eyes just so everyone has a private moment to respond to God's word? Just give everyone a private moment just so that they can respond. Are you here this morning and you are aware that you have some assignments in your life that are challenging, that are tough, that you might, just like young Timothy, feel like the underdog, feel like that some people might even be saying to you, the enemy might be saying to you that, are you really capable? You might feel like you have limited resources or no resources. But God said, let me surround you. Let me fight your battles. Can you put your hand all the way up and then down? That's just you responding to God in the midst of whatever situation he has you in and saying, God, surround me with your presence. I just ask for you to fight my battles. I want to answer the call that you've given to me. So come, Holy Spirit.